you see, he wants to get it in damn good shape. Hold it down, he don't get it dull. Because you cut early hay, a lot more milk in it. A lot better for his milk sales.
I know, I remember you told me last year that it doesn't pay to cut more than you are sure that you can get.
No.
Because it's risky as it is.
Damn risky. See, ordinary years, a lot of years, you'd be safe to mow the whole farm down, you know. 3-4 days, sometimes a month, 6 weeks, you wouldn't get no rain at all. And you could hay to beat hell, you know, do a whole farm for 3 days. But not late years. Hell, last fall you couldn't even get it dry, even late.
I remember.
You cut that big field down there at all. I just turned the cows in and let them go.
Which field will you start on this year first?
A big field down there, the one more last year.
Because that needs it the most.
Well, start on those two lower fields because the hay is lighter.
Uh-huh.
Cut them first and get them out of the way.
Well, if I get that cutter bar fixed up, I'll be over with the tractor and help if you want.
Yeah.
When do you think you might be haying?
Well, I want to start right away. Just soon to get them oats in. But I ain't going to start this kind of weather.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Of course, you can get it a lot quicker if you've got, I got the conditioner and everything, same as Earl, you know, run it over and squeeze the juice out of it. It'll dry so much faster. And then he's got the rakes and everything. You can keep it turning it up. But with horses, well, you would never get it for this kind of weather.
Well, maybe July will turn out hot and dry.
Yeah, you can't tell.
There's been enough rain so far, I tell you.
Yeah. You garden doing anything?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Mine ain't nothing hard.
Considering the weather, it's pretty good. It's
yeah.
Not much sun.
Potatoes just through the ground a little bit. They ain't doing nothing.
No kidding.
No. See, it's been 3 weeks. And they just pricking through the ground.
They ought to be 6 inches or a foot now?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of years are hoeing them the 4th of July. This year, I got a lot of them lined up yet. Takes a lot of sun for potatoes. I guess it does for anything, for that matter.
Well, maybe it'll dry off and the sun will hit them, and they'll make up for it.
Yeah, so just liable to turn right around and be hot and dry. One extreme follows another. But years ago, you used to always start haying right after 4th. And, boy, you get a thunder shower once in a while. But hell, you get days and days it didn't rain, you know. And hay would dry good, and you'd be haying, catting hay into the barn every day. You keep one piece coming right after another, and have one piece that was dry, and that morning when the dew was on, you slap down another piece. By the time the dew was off, you start raking the first one. And God, you go right along, and hay this whole farm over here in 8 days.
How many men?
Oh, my dad and two of us boys, something like that.
Two teams of horses?
No, just one.
Just one team?
Yeah. Do the whole farm 7 or 8 days. And the way the weather's been lately, you gotta take you 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's growing up over by me quite a bit. The little trees coming up everywhere?
They are everywhere now.
I, They seem to like this rain.
Yeah. They, in the pastures where the cattle used to keep them maple down, they ain't touching them now. Well, they say the bugs and the trees are going to rule the world, and I think they are. You take your place up there, if you'd move right off and didn't see it for 5 years, you wouldn't know it.
Oh,
them,
I know.
Them trees have come in there wicked since we bought it. See, we had run cattle in there for quite a few years, and then we didn't have the cattle run in and let it go, and boy, it growed in fast. And this one here, even you got cattle in the pasture. It's surprising. They don't. Years ago, the cattle kept them little trees all cleaned right up. I've got places over on the other farm, man, that you can't hardly walk through them little maples. They're just about up to your knees. I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there are about 20 big popple trees over there that I want to cut down.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, and it'll be much more open if I can get them out.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a big pile and burn them next summer or something.
Yeah.
Let them sit for a while.
Catchy stumps. I'll end them off 4 to 5 feet high. And I'll come over and I'll help you pull them out. We hook a chain right up there. They pull a lot better if you got them off about 4 feet up in the air. Hook a chain right around the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you... You'd be surprised how many of them you can pull. It ain't hard.
Yeah, you got to keep after it. It's, every day I go outside, it's growing up some more.
Yeah, down here where I've been sowing the oats, that was all full of little apple trees. Some of them old, big as that. And I pulled them all out with the horses. Hitch way up in the damn tree, you know. And them horses, they'd snap out quite a tree there. They was pretty game, pretty quick.
When did you clear that?
Oh.
Long time?
Yeah, probably 20 years ago.
It's the nicest piece of land anywhere around here right
there. Yeah, that's a good piece of land in there. Yeah, I had corn. I've had corn in there. Best piece of corn I ever had in my life, I had down there.
Did that fellow Savage ever come back?
No, guess he's, he told her he'd made a down payment on the old First Dickerman place up across from Glen Buttons. No, he ain't never been back talking about land anymore. That's got a house. I told him if he wanted a farm or something, it'd be a lot better if he bought a piece of land and had a building on it or something. I said, God, you building the buildings today, you're going to pay for them. Damn heavy. And that's got a house, and it got two small. I told him it was his best bet. Buy something like that. As long as he wanted a farm and have cattle and stuff. So I understand he told her he'd made a down payment on it. But I guess he ain't sure he's going to have it or not.
So do you have any other plans for this piece?
No, not yet. I may sell it a little later, and I may sell that down in where you and I were looking down on the swamp. That's a damn good place for somebody to build a pond in there. It'll work. I ought to get pretty good money out of that. Don't know anybody wants to buy land, do you?
No, I don't.
Sykes is going to sell that 100 acres over the back side there. You get over it.
You were nervous once?
God damn, I couldn't even sit in a chair one time.
Tell me about that. It's hard to believe.
Well, there ain't nothing to tell about it. That's all there was to it. That's when I first bought this place over. Everything went good for a year, and then everything went the other way after that. And then depression hit. And you're going behind every day, you begin to get nervous. You begin to wonder what you are going to do. And you couldn't find a job, and you couldn't sell anything off a farm. Nobody had no money to buy it. Mm-hmm. Your damn taxes and interest, they had to be paid. And there weren't no money to pay them. You got so damn nervous you didn't know what to do. But after a while, you got it into your head, didn't make any difference whether you got nervous or not, and you kind of got over it. That's what gets a man nervous. It's when everything goes just object from the way it's supposed to.
How's that?
When everything goes just object from the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is running smooth and money's coming in. You're able to meet your bills and everything. There's no nothing bother you then. Hard work never hurt nobody. Don't mind the work if you get something out of it so you can keep even. No, back in the early 30s there, when Depression hit, there was a lot of people that had been doing business for themselves for years. They just lost out and didn't have a thing. They couldn't make a payment. They couldn't get money to pay the mortgage or anything, and they just lost the whole thing. That's what makes a man nervous.
I think you're right.
Now I got so old, I ain't used to getting nervous.
Well, you're still here, and you're going to stay here.
Yeah.
I guess you get to believe in that after a while.
Yeah. Well, I made out a lot better than a lot of older ones that's been farming for years. We had a lot of them in this town that lost out. And all over the country, just saying.
Yeah, and the,
Might be a damn good thing for the state if they get to showing that, too. But just as sure as God made a little apple, they're not going to have any farmers here. All they're going to have is a bunch of brush, and they're going to depend on the Western farmers to feed them. And somebody's going hungry.
That's exactly what this lady told me.
Yep. You can jump into a car, you can jump into your truck out here, and I can take you and I can show you 10,000 acres. It could be growing crops that ain't growing nothing on the weeds and bushes. Good land, too. And most of your farmers down in the valley on your bottom land, they ain't raising anything to eat outside the milk. They're just dairy farmers, most of them. There ain't any reason why they can't raise plenty of stuff to eat. The land is the best here in Vermont. A little hard work. You must always get a season and get a crop here in Vermont. Well, people are going to be hungry if they keep on. They're beginning to tell about shortage of this and that now in the food line. Well, it ain't no wonder nobody's raising any food. They all depend on somebody else, and they ain't raising it. Get your little farmer out, and his farm is all growed up to bushes.
And it's too late.
It's too late, then. And another thing that they ought to do in this country, and I can't see for the life of me why they done it in the first place, is let these damn Japanese and foreign buyers in here buying stuff and shipping it back to the old country and then shipping it on here again and make them pay the price for it. I can't see for the life of them why they let anything like that happen. Even telling now that the Japanese have gone into Maine and bought up this year's potato crop.
Really?
Why did they let anything like that happen?
I don't know.
They've told that the Japanese bought the cotton crop in the south, bought all the cotton. They're out in the big timber country in the west, Washington and Oregon, buying lumber there and shipping it back to Japan. You take, back when I was a kid on these farms, the farmers raised practically everything that they eat and their families. And they sold cream in cans. And everybody had 10, 12, 15 cows. They made a good living, all of these farms. They didn't buy practically anything on the white sugar. A few small things that they had to have. A lot of them bought flour. And then again, in wartime, World War I, they raised their own wheat. Had it ground, had their own flour. They didn't depend on somebody else for what they eat. They had the maple sugar, the potatoes, the beans, milk, cream, raised all their own meat. They didn't depend on somebody else to ship it into them.